Good evening. This is the National Finance Committee open meeting of Tuesday, September 17th, 2024. Mr. Secretary, will you take roll?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo. Lyndon
Here.
Foley. Okay. Paul DiRienzo, is that you?
Yeah, here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Lyndon Foley.
Yeah. Here.
Kamau Harris.
I'm here.
Christina Huggins.
I'm here.
R. Paul Martin here. Stephen Meeks.
Here.
Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Okay, that's, Susan Young.
Susan Young is traveling and notified me. Thank you.
And so she won't be here.
Right.
Okay, that's nine. That's still a quorum.
Right.
And let me ask, is there anybody else here who's on the call who is not a member of the committee? Is like the executive director here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Are there any directors or anybody else on the call?
I'm still expecting at least two directors. I do not see them logged in. And Michael Novick from the KPFK are expected.
All right. They're expected, but they're not here now. Thank you.
Right. Okay. The draft agenda is before you, I hope. Do we have any objections to approving this draft agenda?
Oh, well, number three, approved draft agenda. Could we just have agenda approval?
Yes, I will try to word it that way for the next agenda, and you can change it in the minutes.
Okay, I'll do that now. Okay, and we should actually read it for people who are listening.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, who's speaking? Yes, who is speaking? Oh, all right, R. Paul, I will, let me finish to make sure it's approved, and then I will read it out for, since that's
where we
are.
Actually do it the other way around.
I know, but I asked for objections.
Well,
I'm not hearing, so I'm going
that
to
was an objection to saying, why don't we read it first?
I think you mean that was an objection because you want – okay.
Yeah,
okay, for folks on the call, this is the agenda drafted for tonight. Call to order and roll call, which we've already done. Approve our draft agenda, which it seems we're in the middle of. A report out from the August 27th executive session, which I will read out now. The NFC, National Finance Committee, met in executive session to discuss financial, personnel, and contractual matters of a confidential nature. And that passed without objection of the NFC. For tonight, number five, approve the minutes of August 27th, open and executive meetings. Number six. Tonight, the executive director report and Q&A. Seventh, presentation and review of KPFK's 2025 budget, as was passed by the LSC Finance Committee and full Finance Committee of Los Angeles. Hey,
Darlene, that's incorrect. It was passed by the KPFK local station board, not by the finance committee.
Well, that was the rest.
And I've mentioned that, and I've mentioned that numerous times to you. We don't have a finance committee.
All right. As passed by the full LSC of W.
No, as KPFK. KPFK.
Thank you so much. All right. Let's see. That will be presented by Michael Novick, the IGM, and Stephanie Wells, our executive director. Eight, a vote process to approve or decline the KPFK budget and send to the PNB. Number nine, National Finance Committee communications with the National Board and with the NLSB. And we're discussing how best or best case information sharing. We have next items that we will be scheduling for upcoming NFC agendas as needed. Those are update on the status of the other budgets in the system that we've not yet received, KPFA, WBAI, WPFW, the affiliates, and the national office. And the other upcoming work, return to the topic of central services. We are continuing to compile documented history. And the last item, 10, will be a motion to adjourn. We are hoping for 10:30 p.m. on that. So,
motion on the floor, right?
This is the motion on the floor, and I'm speaking to the motion on the floor.
Oh, okay. Our Paul for staff, too.
Yes, got it. I'm pointing out that, Myla, on my copy, it has been changed as presented as passed by the full LSC. And that's the items I changed while we were discussing it. Our Paul on the stack.
Okay. The first thing is about the, number seven. Is 40 minutes really enough to do the entire budget? I mean, we got this today, and, we haven't all had tons of time to look at it. Is 40 minutes good enough? I mean, or do you figure we'll just keep, extending time on it if we have more and more questions?
We can. We also have 30 minutes to work on an approval or declining of the budget, so we can use some of that time too for clarification, so we know whether we're going to approve or decline. So overall, that process is 70 minutes.
All right. The other thing is, sort of to keep things the way they are, so people in the future don't get too messed up by seeing things called different names. How about KPFK FY25 draft FY25 budget? Because that's what we're actually reviewing.
Okay, so we'll add the word draft, presentation and review of the draft KPFK 2025 budget.
Well, how about draft FY25? Because that's what we've been calling them for 20-odd years. Longer, but it'd be just KPFK draft FY25 budget.
You're writing the minutes. You can make that change or addition.
Okay, you want me to make an amendment to that?
An amendment to what, Arpal?
To number seven, to make it read presentation and review of KPFK draft FY25 budget.
Perfectly fine. Yeah.
Okay, that's my amendment.
All right. Anyone else? Amendments? Motions? Therefore, I'll call if there is, if we are approving the draft agenda as presented with amendment, are there any objections? Hearing none, as amended, we'll accept that as our agenda for this for tonight. I gave that. Okay. Next, we're going to be approving the minutes of August 27th. There were two sessions, open and executive. Our Paul sent those out yesterday. Let's start with the open session. Are there any objections, corrections to the minutes of the open session?
Okay, you're making the motion then. Okay.
Hearing none, no objection. We are approving the minutes of the open session. And now for August 27th executive meeting session, are there any changes to the draft minutes sent by our Paul? Hearing no objections or changes, we are approving the minutes of the executive session of August 27th. Thank you all. All right, we're up to number six, and that is the ED report and Q&A, our regular top agenda item. Stephanie, are you available? Are you prepared?
Yes, I am. We are still moving forward successfully with removing the lien from the liens from the Los Angeles building. All the paperwork again has been put into place for the FBA, and we are just awaiting for them to say we've removed that lien. And then, as I said before, once that lien is removed, then SJC will remove theirs as well, and then we can move forward with successfully closing escrow. Our goal is to be able to finish that hopefully by the end of October. We have already made a payment toward the SBA hardship accommodation program, and so that was a great plus in that we are now, as I've stated one time before, we only have to pay 10% of our monthly payment, so it's approximately $860, and we already made our first payment for that, which was due last week. And because of that hardship accommodation program that they accepted with us, all of the payments that were in default were added to the end of the loan, and so we are no longer in default with SBA, which is why they're happy to successfully move forward with removing that lien. Inspectors have been going about once or twice a week to the Los Angeles building. We just had an environmental inspection go today, and so far everything has been satisfactory with the inspections that are happening. With the Pacifica Radio Archives and the Archive Legacy Digitization Project, that too, we are moving forward successfully in getting that first 20,000 of our materials digitized, and we're in the process of cataloging, planning what those first 20,000 to be digitized, and curation and storage. So we're working with different. Process. We also were able to receive a grant from the WGBH Educational Foundation in their Preserving Endangered Media program, which will help provide funding for two UCLA School of Education and Information Studies interns to help us with prepping the archive materials for the digitization. We are also in the beginning stages of submitting a grant to the National Endowment for the Humanities Division of Preservation and Access to help support the expense of storage and storage materials, for example, racks, archival sleeves, dehumidifiers, et cetera, for the collection while we continue through the digitization process. If qualified for that grant, then we will be applying for the maximum amount of $30,000. So we're just in that process right now of seeing if we qualify. We are moving forward filing our 2022 and 2023 990s. Our taxes will be filed before the end of the calendar. And the 2024 990s will be filed within the first 45 days of 2025. We did successfully receive an extension for those, so we're not late with any of those taxes. So everything is moving forward with that. once the audit process begins and we're going to be using funding, which is needed from the proceeds of the sale of the Los Angeles building, if there are any sort of changes, once we start that auditing process, if there are any material changes that might warrant an amended return, then we will go ahead and file that and submit it to the IRS. That's not a problem. The audits for fiscal year 22 and 2023 will be compiled jointly, and this will lessen the expense. This was as per the recommendation and conversations that we've had with our audit firm, and 2024 will then be completed as a standalone audit. So we're already in the process of working with all the stations, getting the materials that we need. That's everything I have with dealing with finances, if anybody has any questions.
Yes, this is Lyndon. I have a question.
And Myla, I'll talk to the staff.
Okay, Lyndon.
Thank you. Stephanie, on the SBA loan that we're only having to pay $860 a month, which you said was 10% of the previous total or what we had originally agreed to. So what happens to the other 90%?
Well, a lot of it is it's going to be added to the end of the loan. We can also apply for forgiving of that extra amount as well.
Okay, so it's gonna go on like forever, right?
Well, it's a 30-year loan. The goal is to try to pay it down, and you know, I hope in 30 years we're not still paying a monthly payment.
Well, but when we're deferring,
correct?
We're deferring, you know, over $7,000 a month.
Correct.
That's going to be added on to the end of the loan. I was just, you know, just wondering. I probably won't be here in 30 years, so I'm not going to worry about that much. Thank you.
The goal was just to try to get us out of default, and then once we have the ability to make those payments, then we will go back to making the full payments, which
right.
I would much rather do than just continue to pay that.
Okay. Thank you.
Myla, you're up.
Yeah. What I'm wondering about is after the KPFK building sale goes through, how much will remain? How much money will there be after various things are paid off?
Well, I have a draft budget with that that actually was created a while ago when we were first offering the building for the price that the buyer is offering now, which is $4.5 million. So some of those costs have changed because we've been able to pay off certain things, and so they're no longer there. But then at the same time, you know, we've had some other costs that come up. So I don't have an exact dollar amount, but I'm looking to – my goal is to be able to invest approximately $1 million of it in order to then use that interest to help defer the costs and support some of the costs of the loans and some of our other aged payables. And then that would leave approximately $1 to $1.2 million, hopefully, that we can then use to support KPFK since they will be having additional expenses and pay down some of the past due amounts that we have on a national level.
Thank you. Anyone else for the stack?
Or Paul?
I have a question. Or Paul, go ahead.
Okay, one second. Something just fell here. Okay, you said somebody was helping with prepping materials for digitization. Did you say WGBH?
The WGBH Educational Foundation.
Ah, okay. Boston.
Correct.
Okay.
Our partnership with digitizing everything is with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the WGBH Educational Foundation, the Library of Congress, and the Mellon Foundation.
Okay. Thank you. We got some BAI, former BAI people at the station WGBH, and they're involved with various things. Okay, so the whole thing with the Los Angeles building, you figure will enter escrow at the end of October. What will the cash flow be around that? That enters at the end of October. When does money start you know, when does the money come to Pacifica? Right away? Or?
The money comes in at the close of escrow.
Okay, so it's right then and there. No extra delays. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else on the stack?
I have a question. When all that money comes in one blob, do you put it in a CD or put it in some other instrument that it can not be destroyed by inflation while we're waiting? Or is that necessary?
We are discussing, I'm having conversation. Well, some of it we're going to have to pay, obviously, out, you know, for certain costs. But we are talking with various groups regarding investing.
I'm sorry, the last word, I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
We're not just going to keep it in our local bank. It will be wise with the bank, but we can have further conversations as we – that won't be a decision that I will make on my own, but we'll have those discussions with the National Finance Committee. I'm hoping we'll be able to provide some insight and the PNB as well.
Is it liquid, or do you put it in some instrument where, you know, at least it makes some money, but you can't use it right away type of thing? Or do you put it just in a savings account and draw on it, checking account, and just start writing checks?
My goal is to at least invest $1 million of it.
Cool. What kind of thing? That'll be interesting. Everybody will want to know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll definitely be. We'll share that information with everyone.
It'll be woke, I'm sure, a woke investment. We won't be destroying the environment.
Oh, my goodness, no.
All right, thank you.
I have a question. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak before me? And Stephanie, this goes back to what Lyndon asked. Given the probability that we will always be making our payments to the SBA on time at the lower level. Do you have any idea how long of a track record we need with them before they will consider, I think the term is forbearance? What I mean is forgive the loan.
Not a forgivable loan.
Oh, it's not. Okay, I misunderstood. All right. If there are no other questions, we're going to complete this item on the agenda. Okay, not hearing anything. Stephanie, there's seems to be on our end, my end, perhaps, I should say, a problem. I am not seeing Michael logged in, but I have to say the other people, the other directors to whom I gave guest passes are also not here. So I have a request if you can do it. Can you call Michael and give him your credentials and let him come in with you?
Yes.
You can? Thank you. If you'll do that, I appreciate it. Okay, folks, so that means we can't quite jump into the presentation of the budget, and it's way too early for anybody to ask for a break, I hope. I would ask folks, have they or have they not found any sources for central services? I believe our Paul has given us different meeting notes, and I have been able to find spreadsheets that were presented at different meetings through the ages. Anybody else have any leads on where we're going to be able to get that info, so we can just get a historical we can get a timeline and figure out what makes the most sense. It was really helpful what our Paul said today, but it also, to me, pointed out how convoluted it's all been. So just putting that out as my opinion. Anybody else know where to go?
Our Paul?
Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the latest one is that one from April of 23. And
yeah.
That replaced everything prior to it. I also sent in the one about 21 because you asked for the last two a month or two ago. You asked for the last two motions on central services formulas, so I sent those. There may be another one or two somewhere in there, going back to the stuff from 10 years ago maybe. And so the thing is, finding that stuff can be really tough. If you know people want to, there are archives of the open session around. You can look through kpftx.org, and you can search that. A search engine might be able to find mentions of other central services formulas in kpftx.org, although you might have to, you know, tweak it a bit, because central services, when we were considering this, we spent a lot of time on it. So you will find agendas posted to KPFTX about central services formula, and you will find months upon months of those. So it can be a little tricky to find it, but I would say that might be the fastest way to find out if there are even more. However, the thing is, the one passed in 23 is the current one. So there's that.
Which I may be speaking with faulty information, but it does not look like that one is the one in use. So that was the one in use. So we will have some studying to do. And
Myla, for the staff.
Myla, I heard you, and I'm speaking. Making things jibe over time is still in front of us. Okay, Myla, go ahead.
Well, I think that the process that's being proposed right now is rather cumbersome and possibly counterproductive. I think that instead of studying all of the things that have had all the history of the central services formula, that instead we look at proposals for a central services formula to adopt. And I just think that we're getting bogged down and making this far more complicated than it should be. I think it really does need to be addressed. I think that it's grossly unfair and has been unfair, especially to KPFA, for a very long time. And I think that the unfairness needs to be addressed and changed. Thank you.
R. Paul, for somewhere on the stack?
Yeah, I was going to respond to Myla, which...
Go ahead.
I agree. But being able to see how many different operations or variations that have come up in the past, I think is useful to have compiled. I don't know that we would be studying everything that turns up, but I am hoping to get a consolidated resource of the history of the central services process. But I agree, and it keeps coming up on the agenda, and as we have time, things that do not take precedence, we will be diving in. So I do want to affirm that to you, Myla. It has to do with the priorities of the responsibilities of the National Finance Committee. I'm sorry, who was that?
Christina for the stack, please.
Let her go. Okay. I've gone already, so I'll be after her or something.
Okay, that's fine, Arpal. Thank you. Christina, go ahead.
Well, first, thank you, Arpal. That was gracious. I wanted to state that this is like a conversation that it's a little bit complicated and will require more time than is available tonight. But I did have a question. I would like to know how the payroll fund is being dispersed or allocated, because that has an impact on our consideration of central services. So I would appreciate getting that information from, I guess it would come from the national office. So I'd like to know how the payroll fund is being dispersed.
Okay, we can actually ask that of Stephanie when she comes back into the meeting.
Well, I want data. I don't want a simple answer. I want data on it. So it's probably going to take a little more time than that. And I know she's super busy, and so is everybody she works with. But I would like to get that data. Thank you very much.
So Stephanie, okay. I can provide an updated list of the payment of central services of each of the divisions, and that breaks down also because we credit towards central service costs the extra that is being set to offset. It isn't just for example, APFA, for example, is now paying full central service, so they're no longer paying anything extra.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm looking for how the money is being allocated towards each individual station for their payroll.
Okay. Yeah, we can have Markeisha creates a spreadsheet. So
I knew that would take a little time. So that's why I said I didn't expect you to answer tonight, Stephanie. And I appreciate that. So when you have an opportunity, I would appreciate getting that information. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Stephanie, were you able to get the information to Michael Novick?
Yes, I texted it to him.
Okay. So, folks, I'm going to ask that we stop the discussion about central services.
Was I on stack there?
Were you on the stack again, Arpal?
Yes.
Sorry.
I asked for that, yes.
So please go.
Okay. The chair said that it sounded like she said that the central services formula isn't being used. And I don't understand that because this is the only central services formula left standing, the one from April of 2023, and that should be current, and it was passed by the PNB, and so it's the rule in Pacifica. And how many stations are not going along with that, and why are they not going along with that, and what's the story there? Because, you know, once you say, well, you have to do this with the finances, people should be doing that with the finances. And so I'd like to hear about if and why and where people, stations or other units, are not complying with the central services formula that was passed by the PNB.
Christina, for the second.
Okay, I'll answer that, Paul. What I said was I don't think anybody's using that. So the word, I think, didn't come through clearly. If you'd like to make a request for that question that you're asking now to be answered, that's fine. But I was being a little bit glib on that. And since I'm not a person that does the payroll, that doesn't make the central services payment at any station, perhaps that's a little too glib. Christina.
Yes. I just wanted to mention something that I agreed with that Kamau said in an email and put up a concern at the last meeting about the passing on of information. I'll put it as an example. In 2017, the PNB passed a resolution to make every station make sure that they were responsible fiscally every year, and that they that if they didn't, they should take measures to change that. And I will send that to the whole NFC. That was never enacted. So there is a problem with the so-called chain of command that I brought up at the last meeting, and I think there needs to be some clarity of how information is passed on, and there are a whole raft of motions that were made at the PNB level that were never fully implemented, and that was one of them. But if they had been, if it had implemented in 2017, we'd be in a very different role today, a very position, as it were, fiscally, as a foundation. So I'll send that to people, but I understand what ARPAL is saying, but that was not a viable thing, and that was not a workable formula that was passed. It needs to be reviewed, I believe, and I think that's pretty much what Darlene was trying to convey there. So with that, I'll bow out. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to ask that we end this side discussion that I opened up, I'll admit that, a side discussion on central services, and get back to the priority of this evening, which is the presentation and review of the draft KPFK year 2025 budget. I'm going to ask you, Stephanie, are you in a position, do you feel comfortable doing that presentation until we see if Michael is able to get into the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in that case, take it away, Stephanie. Everybody got their spreadsheets open?
I have a question before we begin this. Bear.
Go ahead. That's Lyndon, right?
Yes. I thought that we didn't put out payroll information, and this file has payroll information.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Oh, I was going to say everyone signs a non-disclosure agreement. We wouldn't discuss individual salaries and information, but the National Finance Committee has in the past talked about individual payroll for positions.
So
spreadsheet, no, this is the way this one spreadsheet.
Stephanie, you're cutting out. You're cutting out.
Okay. I don't know. Everyone has signed a non-disclosure agreement, so we wouldn't go through and discuss each individual person, but we have discussed positions before, and this spreadsheet has multiple tabs that corresponds to the main spreadsheet. So if I was to remove those last pages, it then would have changed the numbers in the main spreadsheet. And I didn't want to create a PDF spreadsheet of just that front page, because people have requested not to receive PDFs because then they can't see the actual formulas. But everyone has signed a non-disclosure, so this wouldn't be, I'm not going to go through and mention names, but.
Right. So can I say we'll be careful to, if a payroll is an issue that the NFC needs to delve into, it will have to be in an executive session. All right. Lyndon, are you complete on that?
Well, are we going to go into executive session?
We can always go into executive session if that is name by name something that needs
yeah,
to be.
I didn't, you know, I just brought it up because I've never, you know, right. I've never seen that before. And it's just very stark. And I am a little surprised that some of the staffing, which I would have questions on, I wouldn't have to name names or anything, but I might question some things.
Are Paul for stack?
Just to say, this is Michael Novick. I just joined.
Thank you, Michael. I'm glad you were finally able to get in. I'm sorry if I didn't give you something that worked easily. We're just starting or lining up to do the presentation of the of your station's budget. So very good timing. We have a couple of questions that are coming in for Stephanie. Go ahead, our Paul.
Okay.
At you.
Traditionally, for years and years and years, yes, everybody's budget spreadsheet did show full details of all staffing, all salaries, and that was for years. I will point out that a couple of years ago, WBAI also sent one in that had all the details. And other stations, however, have started, a number of years ago, started not putting that in. And so basically it had been the norm, and then some people balked at it. So I think it is good to be able to have it. And, of course, we can't discuss it in the open session. And I think that we should not discuss like an individual, you know, Joe Blow does this, and start discussing that person's salary or anything, even an executive session. But it had been the norm, and then it was kind of not always the norm and back and forth. So that's how it is. Thank you.
I will jump in here for a response, which is, having been an HR manager under California corporate law, and the laws regarding wages and wages in California, there would be no publication or discussion by name of individual salaries. So I take a gasp at what you're saying, R. Paul, but under, as we are incorporated in California, there would be no discussion of individual salaries by position or by name. Thanks. Any other questions? I'm going to ask Stephanie and Michael to get at it now, and people can ask to be on the stack as needed. Go ahead, Stephanie and Michael.
Yeah, Stephanie, okay. I think you start, right? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no problem. And by all means, Michael, just ping pong off of me or interrupt if there's something you want to add or if I'm not covering something completely. So the budget that everybody received, as I'd mentioned earlier, has quite a few tabs, and all of those tabs tie into the main budget on the front. And again, if I would have started removing some of those pages, then that would have affected the numbers in the front, particularly the each month as we were projecting out. So what we're really focusing on is the column AE, which is the fiscal year 25 accepted by the LSB. When we originally had the discussion with the LSB a couple of months ago, that was in column AD, and that's in there just because I didn't hide it, because if anybody had been part of that LSB discussion when we were presenting this budget at the last LSB meeting, then that gave them an opportunity to see where some of these changes were made. And the changes weren't significant, but I wanted them to be able to see what we had originally proposed and what changes had been made. So the projected listener support, which would then be row five, again, column AE, which is highlighted. In fiscal year 24, there was an average of roughly about $84,000 per month, give or take. Sometimes the months are lower, sometimes they're higher. But one of the things that we want to project or look at as well is this is looking at fiscal year 25. So we anticipate that as we move through fiscal year 25, we will be making the marketing outreach, any sort of programmatic changes that are necessary to start promoting KPFK and increasing our listener base. So with an average of approximately $84,000 per month in that listener support, that would bring the listener support projected for fiscal year 25 up to $1,125,000, which isn't too far off from fiscal year 20,
2022, which was less, but $1,274,000, where the actual fiscal year 23 was $989,000. So it's not too far off from getting where we want to be and where we used to be. Corporate match, I know that we're working on a discussion of reaching out to corporations. So we were very conservative with the corporate match. And that, again, is just marketing and outreach and PSAs. And I think that I've actually heard a couple that are on the station already. So that's a conservative income of $1,500. Major donor income, which is greater than $1,000 at one time. We have done in the past anywhere from $105,000 in fiscal year 22 to $69,000 in fiscal year 23. And so we're looking to be able to get that to approximately $70,000. And in fiscal year 24, we're projected with the major donor income. Well, there was a bequest that's listed in there at around $21,000. So we know that just by reaching out to our donors, which they are actively making lists and making phone calls to some of those major donors at $70,000. Car donations has always been extremely successful for KPFK. We're being conservative on that as well at $78,000, increasing it just a little bit. Community events, I know that we will most likely do more with the community events, but again, we're being conservative with this at $5,000. Grants, also being conservative at $10,000. Sponsorship income, one of the things that we're looking at across the board at a lot of the stations is really working with the programmers on getting sponsorships and underwriting for their programs. So we anticipated that even if every program brought in a minimum of $5,000 a year, which is $420 a month, approximately 100 programs, that would bring in right there $500,000. But we're being just extremely conservative until we can roll that out. And we just have roughly $45,000 for sponsorship income. So it's a very conservative form of revenue with the anticipation of being able to increase that as we work on the programming and support the programmers with what they need to raise funds. And that brings the total revenue projected or proposed for fiscal year 25 would be $1,334,500.
Stephanie, can I ask a question about the community events figure?
Yes.
And I don't know whether you or Michael can answer this, but it's my understanding that our Spanish language programmers have been bringing in money that has not been figured in, and in part because there hasn't been a line item for it or some way of documenting it. And I'm just wondering, has that been corrected, and does this $5,000 a year reflect any money that is generated by those events that are produced by our Spanish language programmers?
Yeah, I sat down with the membership department during the week trying to figure out why some of that income is not reflected. We're still working on that. It's not only the Spanish language programmers. We had a couple of major events that Frank Doral worked on with us at the station. We had a peace activist, three different panels of peace activists at a church on the west side. We did a fundraiser at his birthday gathering, and I'm not sure why the money is not being reflected in community events, which is where it should be. There have been others as well. So I do think we need to work on how the income gets coded properly so it can be reflected, and we're still working on that, honestly. But I do think that we've actually had a substantial income from community events last year and projecting ahead. That we will again this coming year, that for some reason is not getting properly entered into the data.
Thank you.
This is Lyndon. I have another question, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Which from Michael's answer, it just keys me into the total 2024 projection column, which has doesn't have an entry for community events. What where do these numbers come? Is that actuals for 10 months and projection for 2 months, or what is that number? What does that column represent?
The 2024 projection is based off of the actuals and the consolidated financials through Q2, and then also the reconciled bank statements through, I believe, through July, possibly August, but I think it's just July. So that was just projecting out based upon the actuals and the reconciled bank statements.
Okay, so there may be some money that should be showing up on that line. It's just not showing up, and somebody needs to look into that. Okay, thank you.
Correct, and that's what Michael is looking at in, with the community events. And a lot is a lot with the community events. They do a good job having community events at KPFK, but we do need to create a system when community events are held that provide a budget, even if it's just a very rough draft budget that's, you know, on a piece of paper, but then I can put into a spreadsheet so we can make note of in-kind donations, the expenses that are incurred, and the funds that are coming in, whether it's cash, checks, you know, those kind of things, so that we, if anything, we can just adequately thank individuals, particularly for in-kind donations, and we get a good idea of what the budget is for those items, for those events. I anticipate that the community events line will increase as we work through the budget throughout fiscal year 25.
Yeah, it's unfortunate we haven't had a business manager at the station in several years, long before even I began. And I think it is problematic in terms of trying to get some of this data entered properly. We had a speaker event with Gerald Horn, the whole number of events that have occurred in this past year that are not somehow being broken out properly. So we'll have to work on that.
Right. They could possibly be in the major donor income. They could possibly be in listener support. So those are the things, as Michael said, that they're working on and figuring out. A basic expense summary as we go through. I'll just read the larger numbers, and then it breaks down below that, is that we have a personnel cost of 600, and now we're on line 15. The total personnel costs are $626,500. This does not include paid general manager or paid program director. When it was presented to the LSB, we have an additional column that had the possibility of moving forward in fiscal year 25 with paid general manager, paid program director, and also a paid operations, just padding that personnel cost a little bit more. The LSB decided to just be conservative and continue to move forward with this budget with unpaid staff. Again, as we look forward through and we work through fiscal year 25, this is just a guideline. And if we come to a point as we review the budget on a regular basis that there is money that we can't afford to pay that staff, then we will adjust that accordingly. So this right now is just a continuation of the 12 employees that are currently being paid at KPFK. The board cost, LSB expense, we put in $5,000. That's been put in pretty much everybody's budget across the board to help cover the cost of any sort of election. But no one has actually paid that because the national office is paying that. But we're just putting it in there as we move forward so that the stations kind of get possibly in the habit of being able to help offset the cost of some of the elections. But that, you know, as I said, this past year and the year prior, that was paid for by the next office. Administrative expense total is $135,100. Program expenses, $176,800. Development expenses, $109,800.
And then community special event expenses, $2,500. Again, this is just a guesstimation based upon conversations with individuals have had where there might have been some costs or fees or extra insurance that have needed to be paid for some of these special events. But once we get a better grasp and budgets on these special events, then we'll be able to adjust those columns accordingly and just track that a little bit better. So being conservative, again, with the revenue, being conservative with the expenses, not adding any additional paid staff, the total operating expenses for line 21 is $1,055,700. The central services is based on, as you can see, the actuals for fiscal year 22 and 23 was based upon old formulas for revenue that was quite a few years old, which had the central service charges against KPFK at $441,000. But if we take 15% of the fiscal year 23 revenue, that would bring the total for central services to be $179,855. Central services to the archives, there usually has not been, there's been charges against KPFK for the archives, but it isn't something that has been paid because they have always provided free rent to the archives division. So that remains at zero. So the total cost for central services is $179,855. That brings the total expenses proposed for fiscal year 25 to be $1,235,555 for a net income at the end of the year of $98,945. Again, one thing to take into consideration, even though, you know, it's great that we are here with a net income, is that this doesn't take into consideration some of the past due bills that KPFK has been working to very hard to try to catch up on. And we hope that with the proceeds of the sale of the building, we'll be able to pay some of those off. But, you know, what we see on paper isn't always reflective of the cash flow. So as we go through the details, go ahead.
Well, just to add to that, we did pay off the arrears to Southern California Edison, and I believe to Allegiance, at least for the station, over the course of the last period, we had in addition to regular monthly charges for the Southern California Edison, which is the power to the transmitter, we had a $3,000 monthly payment that we had to add on of to cover the previously unpaid bills, and that was paid off. So we're current with them. I also want to point out about the personnel costs. If you look back over the years that are here, you'll see that personnel costs were over $1 million in 2022, $846,000 in 2023, and projected for this year, $751,000. And they've continued to fall because of attrition and the payout of ending the payout of some different severances and so on. So they're much reduced from what they were. It's not only the GM and PD being unpaid. There have been other resignations, retirements, and people passing away, actually, and not being replaced because of the job freezes that we had.
So one of the things we definitely want to do with the proceeds from the sale of the building is to just invest in ourselves and invest in KPFK, because they are losing the building. They are losing a location as well as the archives, and rent now all of a sudden is a new expense for them, and different costs of moving and expenses and things like that. So we will be reimbursing KPFK for the moving expenses and build outs that they have done already. And KPFK has paid for a lot of that with the national office support as well. So, you know, when you do take a look at it, they've done a very good job of having to incur unexpected expenses with the move taking longer than had anticipated, and covering rent and also covering salaries and health benefits and paying down bills. So, you know, kudos to them for dealing with that. So we, again, with the proceeds of the sale, we do want to be able to pay them back for the expenses that they've incurred, and then also give them a cushion where we can work with the LSB to determine, you know, how best to spend that money to move the station forward. When we break it down on a detail of the expenses, starting at line 29, the first section there is personnel costs. So So as Michael had pointed out, the salaries just from fiscal year 22 to the projected for total for fiscal year 24, and then the proposed for fiscal year 25, it's dropped significantly from $860,000 in salaries in 2022 to a proposed for fiscal year 25 of $463,000. And when you add on the taxes, the benefits, the health, the 403B contributions, those sort of things, it brings it to $626,600. Again, as we work through this as just a guideline, that our budget is a proposed, it is a guideline to kind of help us get through the next fiscal year. Hopefully we can make some of those adjustments as we increase the listenership and increase the revenue so we can start adding those very vital employees to KPFK. We, once again, we just have that $5,000 in there for any sort of board expenses, LSC. Most likely that will not be there in fiscal year 25, but we've just plopped that in there. And as I have in the notes, is that that's been covered. The expenses for the election has been covered by the national office for the last 2 years. Administrative expenses, we have $24,000 for consultants, $27,000 for telephone expenses. Internet cable has dropped down significantly, $2,500, and that's sort of supported from the move. The archives department is picking up part of that internet and cable expense in the new location because we no longer have multiple internets, two different internets in the building. Professional legal fees, I have in there $15,000. I'm hoping that will be zero as we move forward, that we won't have any professional or any legal fees as we go through this next year, but Pacifica. So hopefully, I just kind of put that in there as a just in case, but hopefully that will be adjusted as we move through the year to zero or a minimal less than $15,000. Bank charges $6,000, office expense $6,000, rent of the office $43,200. It was originally 61. The first that was proposed to the LSB was $61,272, but part of the rent with the larger room that we're sharing, the third room that we're renting there, is being covered by the archives department. So that's dropped down to $4,000. Okay. There's no utilities because that's included in the rent. So that's a significant savings as you look through the years. We will have a large bill that we will need to pay off with the proceeds of the sale of the building, which is to the Department of LA Department of Water and Power. And so that will come from the proceeds of the sale of the building, but that will not be included in this budget because that will be paid off all at one time. Maintenance non-tech is $6,000. Moving expenses, I don't have anything in there because it will be evened out. We can put that in the budget as we move forward, but it will really just be an even from revenue and expense. And really, technically, it's really not. We can just create a different column so we can track the money that is being given to KPFK from the proceeds of the sale of the building and then track those expenses. So it really isn't part of this budget, but I do want to keep track of it in the budget form. So I most likely will just add a special column on the other side for that.
Yeah,
computer maintenance.
Can I just ask? I understand that paying off the outstanding utility bill is not in the budget, but can you tell us what that figure is?
$94,000.
Okay, thank you.
Computer maintenance, $3,000. Computer supplies, $2,400 for a total administrative expense of $135,100. And again, this is just a guideline. It's just our proposed as we look up, as we, look forward to this next fiscal year, and those will be adjusted accordingly if need be. For our programming expenses, $32,500 for consultants. Michael can go into detail with that as to what that involves. Maintenance technical for any programming is $6,000. Website expenses, $2,500. We have our tower rent, which is fairly consistent at $24,000. Utilities at the tower, also consistent at $110,000. Programming services, $1,800 for total programming expenses of $176,800. And again, hopefully, we'll be bringing in and then we can get new service, we can increase some of our website, one of the things that we did with a lot of the budgets last year that we're doing also with this year is spreading out what the expenses are. In the past, many of the stations put a lot of pretty much all of their expenses up in the admin when they really should have been spread out over admin, programming, and development. Sometimes when you just look across the board over the years, a lot of the money was just not allocated correctly. So that's one of the things that we're really trying to focus on is dividing it up to set the actual use. As we go into the development expenses, roughly $18,800 for credit card fees. We were just keeping that similar to what was done in the past. Postage for subscriptions, $2,500. We have roughly premiums from PRA, $3,500. They've paid.
Stephanie?
Yeah, we lost Stephanie, I think.
She'll be back. She gets back really quickly.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. You cut out there after.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. PRA premiums. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Premiums from other vendors, I still have in there $45,000. Again, Michael's done a great job utilizing, it should be thank you gifts, not premiums, but that's how it's listed in the budget. They've been very good about utilizing material gifts and thank you gifts from other sources, including just internal items and logo materials and things like that. So that, again, may be something that can change as we go through the next fiscal year. Fund drive expenses, $25,000. Shipping of premiums, $15,000. And, again, that easily can adjust as we work through the year for total development expenses of $109,800. And then that takes us down to the community events, which, again, I just put in $2,500, but once we get continue to get a better grasp on just budgeting what our community events are, including, as I said, in-kind gifts, then we'll be able to adjust those lines accordingly. So that is it. If people need more clarification from myself or Michael or questions.
Taking a stack. Who wants to be on it?
Our Paul.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, one second. Let me get there.
Lyndon would like to be on the stack.
There.
Gotcha, Lyndon.
Okay.
Myla for the stack as well.
Gotcha.
Okay, in assumptions, the raise for, it says 1.5%. Is the raise for the people working there really only 1.5%? That seems awfully small.
The raise, are you looking at?
Assumptions tab.
Oh, crap. Okay. Assumptions. There's a raise for, let me get back to it before something else slips. Under assumptions.
C14.
Yeah. Or line 14, CBA mandated pay increase, 1.50%.
That was information that was plugged in from historical information. So, I mean, nobody really has gotten a raise in quite a long time.
So that's just not, that's not a really operative number then. Okay. Okay, so total FTEs are 11.25.
Twelve.
Okay.
Are you looking at that?
We're working on the first column. So I'm working on the first spreadsheet. So what page are you on with that?
I went through it earlier. Let's see.
Myla, they're working on the tab at the bottom of assumptions. Am I correct, R. Paul?
Yeah, I'm looking at assumptions.
Some people are lost.
The tab at the bottom says assumptions. It's three over from budget, and I just asked a question about line 14, CBA mandated pay increase, 1.50%, and I think that part got answered. And then the FTEs we just got answered. Now, I guess I'm – now, I went through this earlier today, so it's not linear. Going back to the front, the net income, net loss, originally it was a loss of $50,000, but now
– Hold on. Okay. When you say going back to the front, are you referring to the first tab?
Yeah, budget FY2024-2025. Back to that. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. The net income was originally negative 50, and now it's positive 98,945. And is that mostly the cutting of expenses that's really going to do that?
If you compare column AB to column AE, you can see where the changes were. So the revenue has stayed the same. The original budget that was proposed to the LSB quite a few months ago, column AD, there were requests during that meeting to make some changes in the expenses, and not even just requests, but just as we talked through it. So if you compare AD to AE, you can see that the total revenue has remained the same, but there has been a decrease in the administrative expense. There's been a slight increase in the program expense, a decrease in the development expense, and a decrease in the community events expense.
Right.
So there's also been a decrease where there's not been a charge for central services for the archive, which then removed $58,920 from column AD, even though the central services for the national office increased by roughly, was that $6,000, $7,000. So that brought central services from $232,572 in column AD down to $179,855. So right there is a significant decrease. Just in that central service alone, you can see, you know, you can compare AD to E as to where those changes were. And then the details are following 29 and below.
So... Yes, as to follow a little bit on that, just to confirm, so the total expenses are showing up now as $148,946 less than original, and it's because of these savings on expenses, right?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. Now, then there's sponsorship income. I think, is that on the first page here?
11.
Line 11? There it is, yes. Sponsorship. You're talking about, you know, each program doing, what is it, five grand a year, $420 a month. How is that going to work? Because, of course, not all programs have anywhere near the same potential. You've got drive time, you've got ordinary time, you've got the overnights, and you can't just do a flat. Everybody has to make five grand a year, because certain entire swaths of the clock are just going to go away in that case. So is there going to be like some sort of analysis to say, okay, drive time has to do X amount more than five, and middle of the night programming does Y amount less than five? Is it going to be really more like that instead of, you know, more granular instead of saying everybody five?
Yes, that's why we're working with every programmer. If I wasn't if I was just to make it flat across the board, you would see that sponsorship line item at $500,000, because right, that would have been 100 programs, approximately 100 programs, bringing in $420 a month or $5K a year to be $500,000. But we've only put in $45,000.
Yeah.
So okay, I wanted to bring that up,
that,
just so we all know.
So we're not just doing it straight across the board. So it's the same, you know, with revenue, when we've had questions about grant income or what constitutes a major donor, what's restricted, what's not restricted. Everything does need to be looked at, and that's why we want to have conversations with all of our programmers and see what the potential is and see how we can help them.
You know, could it, is it not maybe, you know, what kind of sponsorship could they get? If it's not that much, then, you know, let's work with it. So it definitely is something that's going to have to be rolled out slowly and carefully and methodically, and personalized with each program.
Okay. Finally, you mentioned budgets for community events. I have to say, I recall that that was a rule some time ago. I remember BAI getting saying, okay, from now on, we have to have a budget for every event, and a form was put out, and some people really didn't like it. I think that was a Pacifica-wide rule some years ago. So I don't know. Maybe you can find old forms or something if there's anything left of the past out there. But we did have a rule that you had to have a budget for an event, and you had to write down what the expenses and proposed revenue were going to be. And the general manager or business manager, whoever you have, would look it over, see how realistic it was, and then see how it works out after the event. And if somebody's chronically, you know, losing money, they had a problem with future events. So I just wanted to note that this is an old rule, and maybe you could even find the rule somewhere in Pacifica's archives if Pacifica has any. Thank you.
Yeah, that's just a nice common business practice. So it's even not, you know, to be honest, will not most likely dig through to find any rules, because that's just basic common business sense. So we can better analyze whether this is actually a fundraising event, a friend-raising event, and that we can, you know, send out the necessary tax acknowledgement letters, even for those that are giving, you know, an in-kind gift. So that definitely is something that I'm glad we historically have done in the past, and we will start doing it again.
Yeah, I do recall that. I was earlier in my 10 years, I was a LSV treasurer, and we did try to do that. Almost all of the events that we've had in the last year have been basically, the costs have been minimal, because the sites were donated if there was a site expense, and often food was donated. And we did not put that down because they were all donations, but I guess we should have done them as in-kind donations, or essentially donations to the station for the cost of the venue in a couple of cases. So, for example, we did the Gerald Horn speaking engagement. Black Lives Matter has a center, and they made the space available at no charge to us. I'm sure they usually would have had a rental fee, but it never came up. So I guess we'll have to try to get, what the cost would have been had we had to pay them, and consider those donations.
Our poll is done and answers have come in, correct? Because
yes.
I'm going to call Lyndon now. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Thank you, Chair. Stephanie, I see, I am jealous that y'all have bank charges out there down to $500 a month. And ours are significantly larger, more than twice that. At least what we have in our budget from years past. And I know one time I went and talked to a bank and tried to get, you know, a lower cost to us, lower expense, because the work they do is de minimis. So now that we have consolidated bank, shouldn't ours be all the same?
Yes, it should be. And so those are things, again, we can adjust as we look through.
Well, can you inform me what not right now, but in the next few days, inform me what KPFT's bank charges should be?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Then I noticed that there's no direct mail expenses. Y'all just have quit doing mail, or what? You have another way of contacting people? What is going on with that?
We haven't done direct mail and before. Again, I've been there almost 2 years, and there was no direct mail. Well before that, there was a lot of money owed to Pitney Bowes for a machine that is we've asked them to reclaim.
I can relate to that.
And the mailing costs are mostly for mailing out premiums, and otherwise we're communicating with people by email in most cases.
Okay. That's a great thing, because those costs are pretty high for us. And the last question I have is administrative consultants. Is that just a plug? And what kind of consultants do you think you need to plug for on the administrative side?
What line are you looking at?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's line 51, first line under administrative expenses.
Yes, consultants also mean any sort of vendors or outsourced work that needs to be done. So if it's anything that, you know, IT, computer related, IT related,
some of
the expenses.
Right.
Yeah, it's not, consultants aren't just necessarily that actually should be like consultants, outside vendors,
it's not McKinsey, right? Okay.
Correct.
No.
That'd be a lot more expensive.
If people are familiar with the move we had to make, we did bring Mo Thomas out, I think, three times. But in addition to that, we had three or four highly skilled volunteers working really almost full time for months to build and maintain this. We had to build an entire new radio station from scratch. And so one of them in particular has been really vital and can no longer devote the time because he has to put it into, money-making activity. So we were hoping to actually get some money for him going forward because he's been vital in keeping the station on the air, frankly, and just in terms of the technical end of things. And then the other consultants probably would be under programming. We've been trying to find more beat reporters and field reporters for the newscast, and everybody I talk to wants to be paid for it. So we're looking at trying to, there are a number of people that are out there doing reports, but they expect, something like a story fee, to cover the city council or the police commission or the, county board of supervisors. And, we talked even to a couple of groups that do youth reporters training and, youth podcast training. And they also want a per story fee to get, because they're trying to train the youngsters as kind of in the entrepreneurial mode that exists for reporting in these days. So that's the other main consultant thing that we're looking for, is trying to get, a kind of per story fee for some of that, so we can have a lot more field reporting and a lot more local news coverage on the news.
We also had work that had to be done on the tower. We had some eye shields that were struck by lightning, I believe. So we've had a tower climb, which was very expensive, and we have another tower climb that needs to happen as well. So it's those kind of things that our consultants, because we obviously don't want our volunteers climbing our tower. So.
Yeah, we had to,
reposition. Isn't that what they're for? Wait a second.
No, it's climbing a tower requires special licensing and special insurance, and we had to do it once, and we still have more to come. Because of the move, we had to reposition the receiver of the signal from the studio to the tower, and the chief engineer here locally has also had to go up to the Santa Barbara site and they reposition an antenna there and replace the transmitter. So that's not under consultants, but the tower climb, there's nobody here that has the licensing necessary to do that. We did have to contract with people.
All right. Are there any other folks wanting? I'm sorry, Lyndon, are you complete?
Yes, I'm finished. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else on the stack? I'm trying to figure out how much time we've given this. I believe we are at nearly 50 minutes, so plan accordingly. Anyone else for the stack? I'm not hearing anyone. So at this point, I'm going to say thank you to Michael. And Stephanie, I think we have something a little bit further in the agenda that might include you, so I would ask you to stay a little bit longer.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. I always say.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. I
always come back to you, but
yeah.
Thank you for right now.
Yeah, did you want me to stay on or get off the call? It wasn't clear.
If you want to stay on and listen to the deliberations, you're quite welcome to, because this is out in the open and anybody could listen from the stream, but you could stay. Okay.
Madam Chair, I think it would be a good idea to have him stay here, because while we debate, we may come up with a question we hadn't thought of before he may have the answer to. So I think he should stay.
I'm happy to stay. I want to say something about your question, R. Paul, about 12 FTEs. I'm trying to see where you got that from, because that's not the size of our paid staff by any means.
Well, I said 11.25. Let me get back to it here, and that was in assumptions, line 14. No, that's something else. FTEs. Oh, yes, somewhere in here you have – oh, payroll. It's payroll, payroll, tab, line 34, and it says – it looks like 11.25 – looks like it's possibly the FTEs, but the executive director says it's 12. So 12 is what the executive director says.
Okay. I think that might have been based on having a paid from when this had a paid GM and PD, because if you look above that, I'm just saying, if you look in that column above the total, you'll see the actual number of paid employees. And the FTE, it's 8.75.
Well, those add up to 11 and a quarter.
What's that?
Those do add up to 11 and a quarter, but I think some of that's the number of FTEs, except you're not getting paid. So I just wanted to see what, you know, what that number was.
Yeah, I'm saying maybe I'm missing something. Let me think.
It seems to down to 10.
You have the general manager and the administrative assistant that don't exist. You know, that's.
R. Paul, when you refer to line 34 in payroll, please tell me what column you're referring to.
E and F. Columns E and F.
Okay, thank you.
And let me just fling myself in here from the HR perspective on FTEs don't mean necessarily, and clearly in this case, that every one of them gets paid. It's sort of what your commitment is to staff. And that's how you look at it from a non-financial recording.
And it's my understanding that it can be an aggregate, the number. So there might be Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you look at the whole column, it includes the GM and administrative assistant for the GM, which we haven't had.
Yeah, well, let's please not get in the weeds between 11.25 and 12, please.
And FTE refers to full time equivalent, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, Myla, I do have your name down for the stack, but when I asked if everyone was done, I didn't hear from you. Do you have?
I'm good. Thank you. I think my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So I'll bring that up again as we come up to 50 minutes on this item. Are people at the moment done with the questioning of reading the draft budget? Because otherwise, I'm going to say we are now on item 8, approving or declining the KPFK budget as it stands. We have to pass on the budget to the PNB. So we're going to talk about a yay or a nay or maybe something else. So who is prepared to start that discussion? We have 30 minutes.
Chair, I'll start. I believe that, I believe that it's been fully explained. all the questions have been answered, and it is a positive budget. So I don't have any further questions or qualms about it.
All right. Anyone from KP? Oh, Susan's not here. I was going to say, anybody from, no. Let me shut up. Who else? Anyone else have, are you making a motion, Lyndon, or are you just expressing where
you
are?
No, I was just expressing my position.
Okay. All right. Anyone else talk about what's up for you in whether to be able to approve passage of this draft budget to the PNB?
This is Myla.
Okay, who was that other voice to the stack?
Myla and Christina, I'll defer to Myla to go first.
Come out of the stack also.
Hold on, Myla, hold on. Who is the third person?
This is Kamal, PFW.
Okay, got it, Kamal. Thank you. All right, Myla, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's my understanding that the budget is a work in progress, and it can always be amended should things change. One of the things that I anticipate changing would be the central services formula, but I am prepared to pass this on to the national board at this time.
Okay, good to know, Myla. Christine, you had a comment.
Christina?
Christina, I beg your pardon.
Okay, sorry. I wanted to say I agree with both Lyndon and Myla, and I would support this as Lyndon said, is a positive budget. So I support it. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Kamal, you haven't spoken yet.
Yeah, I want to apologize to the committee. I wrote down some notes, but I was half in and half out trying to take care of some business. Could you, Stephanie, tell me again, was it 94,000 in outstanding utilities? Was that a number I heard?
Yes.
Okay. And then was it a reimbursement for moving costs? And I think you broke up then. Was it billed out also?
Yes, but those aren't the payoff of the LA Department of Water and Power. It's not something that is budgeted because that is going to be paid from the proceeds from the sale of the building, and those were expenses that have incurred since 2019. I think the bill stopped getting paid in 2019.
Right. Those two items are not in the budget.
Correct.
Okay. And then can I ask, because this was pretty extensive, several tabs, kind of linked formulas, things like that. So how many hours did you spend on this particular budget prep? Any idea?
No, not really, because the main base of it, it's kind of a group effort with drafts being done with Michael and Markeisha and myself, and then going back to Markeisha and Angie, who's helping her to put together all the formulas and these multiple pages in the tab. And I know that she put in probably close to 30 hours, and then it then came back to me, and then we presented something to the LSC a couple months ago, and then based upon those conversations, we made additional changes. And then I didn't send it back to Markeisha or Angie to make the changes because they're working on WPFW and WBAI. And so then I probably put in another maybe 4 or 5 hours over the weekend. So I don't know. It's probably, what would that be? Probably 60 hours.
Yeah. All right. And then this is my last one. Would we, because, you know, I'm always thinking PFW, for selfish reasons, the tabs kind of pertaining to the payroll, estimated, the taxes, pension, 403B, health insurance, would those be made available for us as well for our discussion?
They're working on it. I know that we're meeting on Sunday. I don't know if those will be ready by Sunday.
Okay.
I just made a Zoom invite on the email conversations that we've had, but yeah.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Is that do it for you, Kamal? You're fine.
Yeah. That's it. Those are the questions I had. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, thank you. Okay. I have a comment I wanted to make, but is more to the whole. NFC, and it was, I believe Myla had brought it up as well. How would I put this? The budget is a plan. It's not the ledger that we're working off of. It's what you believe you will meet. And so what you compare to the budget, you might only look at the budget a couple times a year to say, how are we doing in our planning? The point of doing budget is to get better at doing budget. And it does not define what you may or may not spend or receive at your station. So I'm sorry to some of the treasurers for being kind of elementary in that point, but I have been hearing people say things like every month we need to look at where we are on our budget, and it's like, well, actually every month you need to look at your profit and loss in your balance sheet, and then every couple of months or so, look at your budget to see if you were predicting accurately, and you will probably change your working budget in the course of your year. So, I don't know the language, and Stephanie or the treasurer has helped me out.
the budget isn't your financial records. It's what it is your plan. And, you know, you can't spend if you don't know what, you know, what is in your bank account. It doesn't matter what the budget said you could spend. You can only spend, you can't spend more than what's in your bank account. And I will stop now because I'm feeling like I'm giving the opening lesson in accounting, and that's not necessary. Thank you.
Well, if I could, Madam Chair.
Go right ahead. Correct me away.
Well, it's not really a correction. I would disagree slightly. I mean, you know, planning for an organization has to be based on something. So you would definitely need your ledger. I think you used the word ledger. So I feel that the general ledger is of the utmost importance when it comes to planning. You would take that and then devise a plan. And the plan is very, very important. It should be checked, if not monthly, every other month, because if I'm not, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but some major decisions are based on budget variances in this organization. A lot of stations were not meeting their budgets and not up to snuff. This committee, in fact, certain decisions are being made based on that. So I would caution, you know, to be really loose with this. It needs to be really tight, and, you know, it needs to be checked. And I think the general managers need to be put on notice that, you know, decisions are going to be made based on budget variances from what I can determine. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we can be loosey-goosey with preparing budgets at all. So it's my opinion.
Thank you.
Christina for the stack.
Our Paul.
Go ahead, Christina, then our Paul.
Okay, so I believe that what Darlene just made a statement about was not in conflict with what Kamal just said either. It's that she's talking about its projected budget based on past history. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't measure your profit and loss and how you're doing financially. And it doesn't mean that it's not impactful. It means that what you're doing is you're projecting what your budget will require based on history. And things are in flux always, constantly. So always one should examine what has changed in the history and the finances of every organization, every part of every organization. But I actually don't think that that there was any disagreement in there with what Darlene was trying to lay out about the fact this is a speculated budget, this is a projected budget. It's not fixed because it will be subject to the changes that occur in the finances of the organization. So that's my perception anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. R. Paul?
Okay. I think it, well, when we were doing the FY24 budgets, we were talking about, yes, and once we get them done, we'll be revisiting them every month or two to see how everybody's doing and keeping close track of how this works. And I don't recall us doing that. But I think that kind of thing probably needs to be done so that we don't end up with surprises. So I'll just say, yeah, the budget is a good idea. It's a projection. And the thing is, you got to look at your actuals fairly often and see where things are going, especially in Pacifica, where things can change suddenly. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephanie, listen carefully to be able to correct what I'm saying, maybe not right. The consolidated financials that we get are currently – they're given to us based on a quarter. But there are tabs per station on those consolidated. So it can be an agenda item to compare what is on the, what is in the each station tab for 3 months to the budget, but we just don't do it. And we could, in the NFC, I think we should talk about what responsibilities we are will commit to for review for the foundation.
Correct. And we also have the, and one of the things now we're also doing on a regular basis is reconciling the bank statements. So then we can try to catch any sort of when income comes in or an invoice comes in that it's been properly coded at the station or the division level before we get it on our side. And another thing too to remember is that we are accrual accounting. So we record the revenues when they're earned or pledged, and the expenses are recorded when they're incurred. So it doesn't really focus on when cash changes hands, but it's it basically is concerned when services are rendered or a commitment is made. And by having an accrual basis accounting, it's the more accurate accounting method because it matches revenues with expenses in the same period in which we incur them. And actually with the most nonprofits, even though a cash method of accounting people can consider is somewhat easier, but accrual accounting is actually required by the GAAP or the generally accepted accounting principles because it gives us a more accurate picture of our organization's financial or fiscal situation. And then it also allows for easier side-by-side comparison with other financial statements of other organizations, which is actually required with large grant makers, foundations, and our accountants when we do our audits.
Thank you. I will bring our attention to the fact that we had 70 minutes given over to this whole budget review and decision-making, and we are just getting to that 70 minutes. So I'm going to straw poll here. Are people ready to vote? On a motion to send this to the PNB as approved by the National Finance Committee. Anybody think we can't get go there?
Come on,
I would like. Go ahead.
Who's speaking?
I just have one clarifying question for the whole committee. So, are we saying then that our budget, if we deem it so, 3 months, 6 months in, we can update them? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
That's usually how it works. Yeah. I cannot swear for Pacifica. Go ahead, Stephanie.
That is actually how it works often in the nonprofit world. Just from experience. When I would meet with the board or the other nonprofits that I've worked with, whether they were large nonprofits or small nonprofits, our finance committee would review the budget depends upon the size of the organization, but usually it was every 2 months. We would review the budget, see where we're heading, project it out, and then we can make adjustments accordingly. So again, we're being proactive rather than reactive. And seeing that if a fund drive didn't go extremely well, then let's go ahead and see if we need to make any adjustments at this point. Or if we have some money that's been pledged, but those payments haven't come in, what do we need to do to try to make sure that those pledges come in? A large grant comes in. Okay, how are we going to do that? Can we adjust it accordingly then with some of our expenses? So you do want to look at it and realize that it's a living document and see if you, make those adjustments accordingly throughout the year.
This is Michael Logan, if I could offer something. As I said, I was a LSB treasurer a number of years ago, and this was in a period of time when the budgets were not getting approved timely. And so, in other words, we were into the fiscal year that we were trying to budget for, and we still did not have an approved budget. And we went back, as the LSB treasurer, working with the general manager at that time, we revised each month to reflect the actuals and then adjusted ahead, to the budget that we finally submitted and incorporated, I think, 2 or 3 months of actuals in the fiscal year. And then we had to adjust some of the other projections based on what the actuals were coming in at. So I mean, that was an aberration in a sense because we couldn't get the budget approved before the fiscal year began. But I do think that the bylaws say the local station board is supposed to review the budget quarterly, and management certainly needs to review it to, you know, see how it corresponds to what's actually the profit and loss and what's coming in. And then you do have to adjust going forward what either cut your expenses further or, try to boost your income or whatever might be necessary.
I guess what I'm asking then, would it also work in the reverse? If a station finds itself with an influx of cash, a pledge, a large donation, that they could then, obviously recognize that since it's come in, and then allocate or make investments as they seem fit?
This is Lyndon. Yeah. I'd like to add or say something about this subject.
And I think wait, hold on. 1 second. Did she say yes? I just want to make sure I heard Stephanie. I think I heard a yes.
Yes, you can make adjustments. And this is particularly in the case when we have at two of the stations unpaid general managers and unpaid program directors, unpaid operations managers, unpaid business managers, where we do want to be able to look at it on a regular basis and try to increase some of that revenue to see if we could afford to then bring, start paying some of the staff. So we would be looking at making those adjustments if necessary and making sure it's a realistic adjustment and something that we can continue following into the next fiscal year.
That's great. Thank you.
Lyndon, you wanted to make a comment.
Yes, I was just going to say, it's a budget, it's a management tool. If you want to, look at every month and every category, every line, then that's up to you. But, your budget is now a management tool and see how close you are adhering to it. And of course, I would think that if you had a, then you know that you're behind on revenues, so you might have to cut expenses. And if you get a windfall of money, and you have some place to spend it that is reasonable and benefits your organization, you should do it. I mean, you're not handcuffed by this budget. It's a management tool. That's my opinion.
That's actually what I was saying. I was hearing that, for example, if we think that the water bill is going to be $5,000 for the year, that somehow we now see that we're going to be saving money there, and we can change that budget number to only $2,000 for the year. Is that kind of what you're saying, Lyndon? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. If I saw that $60,000 versus $24,000, I'd say, okay, that's $30,000 I can spend somewhere else if I need to. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Spending somewhere else and changing a line item are like two different things, though. But that's fine. It's no big deal. I got y'all. Thank you.
I'm glad for that last bit of discussion personally. Thank you both. Do I hear another voice?
Yes. Stephen Meeks, can I make a motion on this?
You go right ahead, Stephen. Let's see how it flies.
I move that we approve KPFK's fiscal year 2025 budget to the PNB.
Okay. R. Paul, did you get that?
How about that? The NFC approves KPFK's FY25 budget and recommends it to the PNB.
I like
for their
that.
Approval.
Oh yes, thank you. Is that good for you, Stephen?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. We have a motion on the floor to approve of this budget and move it on up to the PMB, noting our approval.
That's the motion. Do we need a roll call vote on this, or shall I just ask the question, is there any objection to passing that motion?
Yeah, I object just because I think there should be a roll call.
Who's that was Paul DiRienzo?
Paul. Yeah, I think there should be a roll call, yeah.
All right, well, then let's get to the roll call.
Money.
Paul Wood.
Okay, here we're about to go. 1 second while I paste this and fill that little thing in. Okay, the motion is that the NFC approves KPFK's FY25 budget and recommends it to the PNB for their approval. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo?
Yes.
Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Kamau Harris?
Yes.
Christina Huggins?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Stephen Meeks?
Yes.
Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Myla Reason?
Yes.
Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Susan Young? Not here. Susan Young, are you here?
No,
She's not. 940 against, 0 abstentions.
Very good work, KPFK, and all the other people that worked on this as well. And I'm personally very, very happy to see a turnaround situation happening for your station.
Thank
Michael,
you've
got it. Do you, and you can stay or leave as you'd like, but you have your answer.
Okay, right. Thank you. Appreciate that, and thanks, to everyone for working on it. And I will probably get off. I'm still working on the overnight show and some other stuff, so we have to get scheduled here. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Sure.
All right, folks, we are actually at our estimated time of ending the meeting. Number 9 was to started a discussion of the question about how the NFC does and or should be communicating information to the PNB and the LSBs. How do we move the information through the whole foundation? That can easily be a discussion for the next meeting to be moved forward on the agenda. And then the items called items to schedule, those are always there to be plugged into the agenda as we believe we have time. At this time, I believe we are going to have at least one more budget at our next meeting, which would be the last meeting scheduled before the beginning of the next fiscal year. So I would like get to make this motion. I move that we end this meeting as close to the estimated time as possible for good discipline learning. And I'm going to ask if there are any objections to that if people would rather do some other thing than end the meeting now. So I make a motion to adjourn at 10:32 p.m. Eastern Time of this National Finance Committee meeting. Are there any objections? Well, hearing no objections, I congratulate us all on a reasonably good amount of work tonight, and see you later. We are
this meeting adjourned.
This
good
meeting
night.
Adjourned.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.